los natales a cambio de eso. Tanto se reducen los juicios a falta de pruebas. Habla esta gente, habla.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello! How are you, Aaron?
Doing very well. I had a good meal during our watch of Hollywood's Biggest Night, so I'm in a good mood. I look forward to talking about this thing with you guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Unlike you, I am in full formal setup, so, you know. Just saying for the listeners out there, one of us paid attention.
Wow. Just going
the
off
slander.
Just going off with just pure lies.
Aaron actually is wearing a bow tie t-shirt, which is nice.
Out Now is a film podcast where Amy and I discuss new movies weekly. We also like to have these special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentary tracks or something completely different. And this is a little different, but same old when it comes to this part of the year, because we are going over the results of the 97th Academy Awards. We are literally recording this minutes after the show has ended. Just go with me on that. And yes, we're going to talk about what happened at this year's Academy Awards ceremony, our thoughts on the ceremony, who won our Oscar pool between us, and all of that jazz. So yeah, that's the plan here tonight. Joining Abe and I to discuss the results of Hollywood's Biggest Night, we have from Fast Film Reviews, the man who could not remain silent, it's Mark Hoban.
Hey, everyone. Great to be here.
And from Lenoir Artur and checks my notes here, a podcast called Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. It's the boy with the needle. It's Terrence Johnson.
Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla.
Good title.
Which is it'll make sense once you hear the episode. But yes, I am here. Dressed just as formally as Abe.
To the eights.
To the eights.
More like to the threes.
Well, given this is not we're not publishing the video.
Yes, this is not video, not on video.
Oh, I should stop taking those screenshots then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark, Terrence, glad to have you both here. I look forward to talking the Oscars with you guys. I think Abe and I we'd feel less complete if we weren't able to do this right now. I
100%.
Think that's, yeah. So this is what's going to happen.
Tradition. Yeah.
We're gonna talk about between, because Mark, Abe, and I, we were on the predictions episode. We'll go over who won that in a bit here. But first off, I want to get your guys' impression of the ceremony as a whole. You know, we had Conan O'Brien hosting this year, still in the Dolby Theater. A lot of ideas of what could have happened or what have you. But Terrence, since you weren't here on the predictions, I want us to hear from you first. What did you think of the overall ceremony this year?
I was watching it on my iPad. Which is, you know,
it's the appropriate way to
way
watch it.
Everything to do with the cinematic arts is meant to be done.
Because your watch was broken, I assume.
Yeah.
More just like there was just so much things to do that I was like nailed to my computer. So I was like, okay, in order to watch it, I have to be on the iPad. But I will say, in general, it wasn't good. It wasn't terrible. So what does that make it?
What's that leave?
It was award show length.
Decent? Yeah.
You know, and you know, I stole that saying from my friend, talk about how when a movie is feature length, this was award show length. I think that there were some definite highs, but I think it was I honestly think it was like a weirdly produced show. And that like led to the long runtime, like 3 hours and 45 minutes. For a non like Titanic Lord of the Rings level epic, like, and so you're like, okay, well, what took all that time? The weird James Bond tribute, the fact that Aaron thought he was going to be free from the ad libs for the acting awards, and then we got that, but in the weirdest way possible, and then we got clips later on in the show, and then they sort of did it in costume. And then Conan O'Brien did a musical number after saying that he wasn't going to waste everybody's time, which definitely wasted our time. It was just like weird. It just was a weirdly produced show. I did like that it felt, and I'll give the credit to Conan in this respect, it felt like a show that actually cared about the movies that were nominated. Because sometimes I feel like the Oscars, they get very shy of themselves and they're like, okay, well, we have to make fun of the fact that maybe only three people saw Nickel Boys, but it's like, but that three people saw Nickel Boys should matter, right? That you all thought it was good should matter. So yeah, do you want me to get into any more?
I just want to.
Weirdly produced, I think.
Okay, Mark, what did you think of the Oscar ceremony as a whole?
Yeah. So overall, I liked it. I think it didn't have a defining moment, like they read the wrong film for Best Picture, or somebody got slapped in front of everyone. And, you know, it was pretty uneventful in that regard. I do like Conan O'Brien, so I was ready to laugh, and I did. I thought he did get in some pretty funny jokes. I thought the little John Lithgow bit where he looks a little bit displeased when something happens was funny. I liked the sandworm playing chopsticks at the beginning and then later playing the harp. I think that was funny.
When you pay for a bit, you gotta do it twice.
Exactly. And then, you know, he had a song called I Won't Waste Time, which is kind of ironic because this was a very long ceremony. So in that regard, he did not run a tight ship. You said 3 hours and 50 minutes?
Is that what
they're officially clocking at it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll accept that. It felt really long. So it was not tight. But, I like the firefighters telling the embarrassing jokes. Timothy Chalamet's singing was so good that he almost didn't get the part. Like, that was funny. And he made this funny joke too. It's a little awkward, but addressing the controversy surrounding Carla Sofia Gascon and saying, if you're going to tweet about the ceremony, I'm Jimmy Kimmel. That was funny. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. And most of his jokes were pretty softballs. That was maybe one of the more harsher ones, but I thought it was funny. So overall, you know, uneventful, but I did like Conan hosting, so I'll give him points for that.
Mm-hmm. Abe, how about you?
Really good monologue. I enjoyed the monologue quite a bit. I think there was some good punches, but also some really good laughs. I mean, we talked about it before. I'm a big fan of Conan, so I liked Conan hosting here. But on the whole, like, it's an okay show. It did run long, like what everybody's saying. There were bits where I was just as baffled as, I guess, the majority of social media, where it's like, what is this bit even about? And it's going quite long. But at the same time, I agree with Terrence that it did feel as though it was let's feel good about ourselves. I think that's kind of helped out by some of the speeches that were given too, especially noting like somebody like Sean Baker, who's talking about films and independent films and what have you. But also even Conan kind of doing his, Cinema Streams little TV show commercial, right? Where it's like, go to the movies, you know what I mean? Like, this is what they're for, kind of thing. But I thought the clips were okay. I thought that it'd be much more controlled in terms of like the clips, but it kind of felt as though one category is going to have these style of clips, another category is going to have that style of clips. Some of the clips ran longer than others. Some of them were just like not as useful as I've seen in the past. And I'm more specifically speaking about screenplay clips, where it's like, it's cool that you do one paragraph, but I've seen people kind of do like pages of it, you know, where it's like, oh, this is like really powerful for you to see how a script is written. I dug the Estonia joke. Adam Sandler is fantastic. The Bill Skarsgård joke is probably one of my favorite jokes of the night. Dave Enjoy Randolph she's an amazing actress. The Drake halftime bit was not played out. I enjoyed it. And so I was happy about some of these, like, again, kind of stinging and brutal bits. But on the whole, like, it was fine. Like, I like what Mark was saying, there wasn't something that would like really stood out to me in terms of something that was a faux pas, but not even something like I like some of the speeches, but there was not a speech where I was like, holy fucking shit, like, this is an amazing speech. There are some really good speeches, which we'll probably get to.
Well, I like the ceremony. It's the bar is not high for me at this point as far as like how much I can accept these awards, because I know I'm going to watch them. I'm not worried about the, you know, unless it's obscenely long, then that's something. But like, I expect it to be a certain kind of like, yeah, it's going to keep going, especially because you kind of figure by the time they get to certain awards, it's like, okay, so this is going to be one of the longer ones. And that's kind of how I felt. I wasn't surprised by the fact that it was going to go long, because it just felt like, yeah, I was going to edge on the longer side as opposed to a shorter side. Production wise, like, I can agree with you guys. I do think the emphasis on movies certainly helped, which is weird to say about the Oscars, but I appreciated that to a point. We'll talk about the segments and tributes and whatnot that they had, but like, yes, there were some where it's like, okay, great. It's the 63rd anniversary of James Bond. Way to go. That's a choice. But other things like the memoriam, I thought was really well done. So it's like, I'm happy with the overall execution of it. And the fact that Conan was on made it great because I, like we've established before, I'm a big fan of Conan. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to if, you know, when Kimmel comes out various times during his shows, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's do one of these. Every time Conan goes, I'm like, all right, cool. Let's get a Conan joke in here. Bring us over to the next thing. If I had one major complaint, it's that they, instead of Dave Bautista for production design, they should have had the sandworm come back out again to talk about it also. But you can't get everything, I guess. Right.
They should have presented together.
One of them turns heel. It'd be great.
But no, overall, I had a certain expectation for this show, and I feel like it matched what I was getting out of it. I didn't think Conan would go like super weird in you know, absurdist territory like he can in some areas, because it's the Oscars and has to play to everybody. And it didn't, you know, didn't tank either. I think it did what it needed to with that. And you could remark that it does have like super eventful mode, but it's like you can't really plan for that. So it's like, random things did not occur for basically the worst, because there's usually not great things that take place when it's an info like that. So no harm came to anybody. That's always, I think, like a plus to me.
That's what I will say. That's what I like about Conan's style of humor, and I appreciate, like, we these people that are in the audience have been like getting dolled up 10 times a week every week for like the last 4 months. And so like I always think the mean-spirited thing doesn't just go over well. Like it might go over well at home and or at the Globes, but it's
tiring.
I'm much more like I'm in on the joke, but I'm not one of you. So they're like I know that I'm like a level below, even though Conan is very famous, but like that type of vibe, I thought he did a good job hosting. And the Carla joke was great.
It's a good joke.
Great way to address it, get it out of the way in the opening. You know, and you know, move on, because it's like there's nothing we can do about that.
Mark, were you gonna say something?
No, just gonna support everything that was said. The one thing, he's not mean spirited. That's true. He's I knew he wouldn't be.
Right.
And the other thing, he didn't hammer sometimes there's like a bit that keeps recurring. I mean, so the sandworm came up twice, but that was fine. But you know, sometimes there's a bit that keeps coming up in the ceremony, and after a while you're like, okay, enough already, I'm done with this, it's not funny anymore. And he didn't do that. So in that respect, it moved, and that was good.
I think that honestly comes from Conan, and I mean this seriously. He knows comedy. Like he's very much a study of comedic arts. I mean that as seriously as possible. So I think he knows what to expect from bits. Like he doesn't need to keep bringing out John Lithgow. He knows that worked the time it worked. He doesn't need to go back to it like an hour and a half later and be like, see, isn't this still funny? It's like, oh, he got it. He got the laugh he got the first time and the second time from it. He doesn't need to do it.
I mean, even the second laugh there, I mean, he's very self-deprecating about his humor too. Conan is. So he's able to laugh at himself, but like, I wouldn't be able to commit to that bit. And, you know, like we were saying, it's a very short-lived bit. They did it twice and it worked. And then we never saw it again. Whereas like, I could see like some people actually writing it into the show to come up like later at the 3-hour mark. And it's like, I'm glad that they didn't.
It'd be like I don't know, Neil Patrick Harris explaining a magic trick that would happen.
I like that. Mark was like, "All right,
all of us being wowed."
I completely forgot about that.
I forgot about that too. Is that like the glass about jar Octavia, thing?
About Octavia Spencer watching an empty box for like, you know,
no majority. Thanks.
Was that the same? Was that the Birdman year where he got like,
I want
his tidy whities and was running down through the.
I want to say yes. I think that's that. I think that's Birdman year. Anyway, doesn't matter. we can move on. Before we get to more about the Oscars themselves and who won and everything, let's go over, of course, the results of our predictions.
Sure.
Abe, Mark, and I, we all were, of course, here on Thursday nights going over our super amazing attempts to guess every single Oscar nomination and be the winner. And we, of course, have the results to those now. there were 23 categories. I scored 17 out of 23 mm-hmm. categories. Abe?
I scored 17.
Mark, how many did you score?
18.
So, Mark, that makes you our winner between the three of us.
Yay!
Congratulations. Woo! Good work. Terrence, I know you weren't with us on that day, but how did you have predictions? Did you make
I did, and my work, Oscar pool. And
oh,
I
nice.
Got 18. So.
All right. Okay.
Me and Mark.
Look at you two leading the pack.
All right, so the guests did better than the hosts of a professional film podcast.
Yeah, this is now called Out Now with Mark and Terrence.
It would look odd if you did win, so that's probably best.
Yeah. Good self-snubbing there, Aaron. Yeah,
I'm taking all these notes down as your reigning Summer Gamble champion. I'll just
all right, okay.
Be over here remembering these snide remarks that I'm hearing.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, come this
funny
May.
Enough, the summer, I put much more effort into the Summer Gamble.
As you should. It's the most important thing that happens all year.
It also lasts for 3 months.
That's the exact.
You got to find out for real.
Oscar season has nothing on the Summer Gamble.
So much effort that sometimes when I don't put in enough effort, I get yelled at by one of the co-hosts of this podcast.
And you do better when it happens. What am I to tell you?
1 year, we're going to have Conan O'Brien host our Summer Award Gamble results show.
All right. So, I guess we can tie in our picks or whatnot to like actually going over the winners or what have you. Mm-hmm. How would you like to do this? Should we just like read them out, or you want to just let's go over them then? I got it right here. I don't even divide it up like who won them or like what won them. Obviously, Anora won the most stuff, but
yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, I do have that. So Anora won five
out of six.
Yeah. Wait, where? What? I just had it. Where is it? The Brutalist won 3, and then with 2 was Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, and Wicked.
Okay,
all the same amount of good. That's what that statement tells me, I guess, right? They all won 2 Oscars, therefore they're the same amount of quality.
Wicked and Emilia Perez are equally the same in terms of musicals, yes.
There you go.
according to that.
Oh, that's what this means. Okay.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's get these shorts out of the way.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Some of us got 2 out of 3 shorts right, which made me very
Now, that's funny because this is where I completely flopped. I didn't get a single short right.
You didn't get a single short right?
No.
All right. Where are these? Okay, so we had animated short. I stuck with my guns under the shadow of the cypress, and it paid off.
Good work.
Yeah, it did. So, Aaron, give me what was your thought process for picking that? Just it was your favorite, or
I just for that one, I just went with I like it the most.
Oh, because I loved Yuck, and it didn't. And usually that works for me, and this time it didn't.
When they were showing the clips for Yuck, I was like, Mark's going to win this, and then they went a different way.
I think there's no pattern. There's no way to like decipher a pattern from this, but like. Between the three of these, like the live action I guess animated is the one that's like the sad one by comparison. Like the other two are the more lighthearted ones of their categories, where animated seem to fall. That means nothing. That does not mm-hmm. make it any different as far as how to predict these things. But no, I like that film a lot. It does have like the most grit, I guess, to it, given what it's about with the PTSD aspect and everything. But like, yeah, no, there was no logic beyond. I just liked it the most. That's
good. Good call.
Let's see. Live action short, I'm Not a Robot, the winner here. you both picked Aileen, Mark and
yes,
Abe.
Correct.
I went with The Man Who Cannot Remain Silent. Terrence, what'd you pick? You lost this one, would you?
I did Man Who Cannot Remain Silent.
Okay, so we were on the same page on that one. They went with I'm Not a Robot, which I should have stuck with. It was my favorite one.
I actually, I do enjoy that, short, so I should have just gone with I mean I liked all the shorts to some extent, but
I think it's a good crop of shorts.
But it was interesting that was the one short that did not have an activist message. All the other four have something that they're promoting, and this was just a pure narrative, which is interesting.
Aaron, ask me what my thoughts were on I'm Not a Robot.
What were your thoughts on I'm Not a Robot?
Good trailer.
All right.
Call back.
Thank you.
Before we leave some of the shorts, I'd also like to say that In the Shadow of the Cypress, a pretty good speech until the guy was like, you're doing it wrong, and took the phone away from his partner.
I mean,
it was cute when they were going back and forth. But then it was
really nice and sentimental. And then like he just got.
But then
frustrated.
He just held on to the phone. Yeah. And it was just his for the rest of the speech. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, best live action short. I'm Not a Robot. Good win by them.
documentary short, we had The Only Girl in the Orchestra, which did all three of us predict that?
No, I didn't. No, but
Abe did not.
Yeah,
Abe
I know that Mark won this one.
Oh, you
one.
Went with I'm Ready Warden, right?
Oh, you chose this one too, Aaron?
Yeah, you went for it.
I went with I'm Ready Warden.
I chose this one too.
Congrats to you three. Look at you.
No, you...
I got it wrong.
Oh, no, Terrence, right. what'd you have? You had I'm Ready Warden?
I'm Ready Warden, yeah.
Okay, so you two did, and then Mark and I went for the orchestra.
Yeah, good on you guys for choosing the a nice uplifting one.
If I get 2 out of 3 shorts right, I feel like I've already won. That's
I was feeling like I was on some
You didn't win the ballot, but you won that little
I won
segment.
The war. That's what I'm saying.
You felt like you won and you didn't.
You've redefined the contest.
This is certainly these categories are certainly where you can make a break.
I'm just sharing positivity, guys.
Or as they say on what was that season 12 of RuPaul's Drag Race, losing is the new winning.
There you go. Yeah. Call me a loser.
Let's just sashay away from these shorts for now and move on to another category. Let's talk about, I don't know, let's talk about documentary. Mm-hmm. How about that? No Other Land is the winner here. I picked against it. I went for that Porcelain War. Mm-hmm.
And I both chose No Other
Land.
I chose this one too.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of my swings. I knew it was a favorite, but I went for Porcelain War anyway. And if the interview we saw with the president of Ukraine yesterday went before the Oscar voting ended, I feel like I might have won. But that didn't happen that way.
Yeah, they would need to send a message. So you're right about that.
I was, even though I picked it, I did have a feeling that Porcelain War would win. Mm-hmm. I did not know how the Academy, full of producers and distributors and studio people
with lots of opinions,
with lots of opinions and thoughts, would think about a movie that currently does not have U.S. distribution.
Right.
And although it is playing in Los Angeles at the Academy Theater,
it's playing at the Academy Draft Museum. House. It's playing at the Draft House as well.
Yeah. At the Academy Museum on the 8th. So people who listen to this who live in L.A.
You know,
who
up
see
here
it.
In the Bay Area, it's actually playing at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. So
oh, nice.
If you do, you can find it. Just,
right.
Yeah. It just, I just was like, okay, they're going to be like, well, the nomination is nice. And we showed that we, you know, are somewhat nice. Right. And they'll give it to something else. But I'm glad it won.
Well, they showed up. And they,
that speech, I think, to me, was the best moment.
It was the best speech. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Like, it was a good speech. It was from, it made a lot of sense. It actually called out, you know, the United States. And that's a rare thing for people to do at these award shows where you're kind of just like doing like a lot of fluff work.
I think a good pivot from here will be to animated film.
Why? Because, no.
well, we all, at least three of us, picked Wild Robot. Terrence, did you have Wild Robot as well?
I did have Wild Robot, and I'm so mad.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because in my mind, I was like, Flo is the beautifully animated, mature film.
Yeah.
And when Aaron said DreamWorks does not have a good record in this category, I thought, maybe I should switch it to Flo.
It was locked in, though, at that point.
I was like, minute. Oh, it's all of these things, but it's also the tiny Latvian entry, and Wild Robot is in two other categories. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, very similar logic.
I mean, Flo was in Best International Feature, too. I mean, that's not nothing. That's
Get on
that team.
And it's better, so I'm glad that won.
It also helps. Yeah. I do like it. I mean, Abe,
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it more than The Wild Robot as well. So.
Abe, I know it's your number. Wild Robot's your number one favorite.
My normal movie, but again, like, Flo had been winning a lot of the awards, and so I was just kind of banking on the people that made Wild Robot to kind of have more cachet. But I'm happy that they won. It was a great win for Latvia.
It was nice to see, and they got a good speech. Were they the ones that said they just got there too? Right?
Was that the other one? In the Shadow of Cyprus.
Was that when Conan said your move, Estonia?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Estonia, the birth of the Estonia joke.
And then he brought it up again, and it was wonderful. but yeah, no, Flo winning was fun. It's fun, you know. What I do like about the ceremony, it's not really the ceremony itself's fault, or like they didn't do it, but it did feel like a race watching this Oscars in a way that I haven't felt in a while. Like, you know, obviously there's always some upsets or whatnot, but it did feel like some of these could go either way in a sense that I'm not used to seeing for, you know, some time now. So like seeing like Flo, like, oh no, Flo won, like, cool, good for it.
Yeah.
Kind of all over the place here. Let's go to some of the other technical categories. Let's start with makeup and hairstyling.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where June Squibb came out as, or Bill Skarsgård came out?
Bill Skarsgård, yeah, correct. Yeah, that's correct. he's phenomenal. He's transforms into every role that he takes.
He stayed in character. He's still at the party right now. I just saw a clip on Twitter. He's dancing up as June
Squibb. Andy Serkis did a great job, too.
The Substance won this one. I think we all had The Substance here. Good on them.
Yep.
If you have anything, just shout it out, because that's for every single thing that happened.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Production design. Wicked one here.
Mm-hmm.
This was Ben Stiller's whole deal. He was doing the thing for a
funny bit.
I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, I like Ben Stiller at the Oscars.
That was funny.
Yeah,
it was funny. It reminded me of like the Sabrina Carpenter's Grammy performance, sort of the physical comedy of in that performance, she like goes down the stairs, but it's like that the stairs aren't connected, so she just keeps going down. And then it was like they kept like lowering him.
I just like seeing dramatic TV director Ben Stiller get a chance to finally be funny. That just made me happy.
I've always liked Ben Stiller at the Oscars. He had a great night.
Maybe that was his Audi.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like it. Is the one who does Substance.
I'd also like to point out that somebody had pointed out that Ben Stiller tweeted "Go Knicks, good Knicks win" while he's at the Oscars, and it was like, this is phenomenal. Ben Stiller, true hoop fan.
Oh yeah, he's that's the only thing he does on Blue Sky. He's like talking about basketball.
He's just talking about the Knicks,
yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. But no, like, yeah, you're not wrong, Terrence. Like, and it, like he. When he was on the Oscars more in the past, he was always just like had good fun things
having
to do, whether he's like dressed completely as a Navi or dressed as like he like had himself in like a green costume,
the green screen suit,
except his head. So it was fun to see him just having fun.
Yeah.
Not that I think Ben Stiller doesn't have fun, but it's like, you know, he's done so much dramatic TV. Like I said, it's like, oh, good. Yeah, he can still have fun at time. What next? Costume design went to Wicked. This is a good bit, right, with Bowen and a disappointed John Lithgow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a good bit. I did like that this one. I like that he wore his costume from the show from the movie. And then the speech was pretty okay too.
Terrence,
I like it, nothing is going to top Melissa McCarthy and Brian Tyree Henry. That is my all time favorite costume.
The
ridiculousness of all the bunnies and then trying to open the envelope. It was so funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was. Fun. I kind of wish Aaron and I were texting during the show where I was like, oh, like this might be an interesting change to have like these very, very famous actors like give these glowing speeches about the craftspeople. Like I thought that was a really nice part of this.
Yeah.
You know, Elle Fanning being like, I, you know, met you when I was 13 but this is our first movie together and just giving them their flowers in that way. So like less so the like the banter about Bowen and John Lithgow not being besties and more just like the niceness of that.
Yeah. The sincerity.
Yeah. Sincerity of that.
Yeah. I mean, after seeing that they were kind of ditching the actor speeches.
Yeah.
Which I was so relieved to not have to see those.
Right.
And then see like, yes, it was eating time. Like you were saying, Tara, like we were kind of texting, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, this is like if they could do this for the crafts instead, I'd be way less bitchy about it. I know that. So,
yeah.
But they only kind of did it, right? They only they did it for cinematography. They do it.
Yeah,
for,
exactly. You know, so there's like this weird unevenness about how they decided to present these things, which kind of made me question some things.
It made me think it was like a testing ground for how they do it in the future.
Awesome.
Or just they really had to deal with the whole Carla situation. This is the best way they could.
100%. Yeah. I mean, for that, we'll get to it for the best actress part.
Let's see what's next on here. We jump.
I do want to shout out Paul Tazewell winning costume.
Oh yeah, no, that's great to see. That was
first black man to win that award. Ruth Carter is not by herself anymore. It's the only black person, and he's probably going to win the Tony this year too.
Wow. Okay.
Right, he did the costumes for Death Becomes Her.
You better on Broadway. Start doing some costumes for Shogun next season. Get that EGOT ready.
Yeah.
Wow.
Get himself on that set. What if you did just for that reason?
Just to win it?
Just to win the EGOT.
Like, take that, whoever else has an EGOT.
I want to be on Shogun. Why? I love Shogun. Yeah, that's what I said. Shogun. I love that show. I want to be on it. Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Dune Part 2. We can do sound and visual effects together because they both, Dune 1 back to back here. And good on Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Anything happen in these categories? They just kind of like did a reel of the things.
They did reels, and when they did the reel for the sound, I was like, I'm glad they did one.
Yeah, good yeah. sound.
I had Wicked in sound. I thought the live singing on set thing would carry them over. And I also kind of thought that they would forget about Dune Part 2 because, you know, they already believe the movie directed itself. So both movies, in fact, have directed themselves.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, Dune Messiah is going to come back for all of it, I suppose.
I hope. Yeah, come back with a vengeance. Pull off an Anora.
Yeah. To be fair, Dune did win 2 Oscars tonight.
It did. So it's not, yeah. It's not... Again, yeah, and it won like 12 last Oscars or something.
It won a good number last night. Yeah, yeah. It did a show. let's see what's next. Cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
We brought out the stars for this one too, right? Yeah, we brought everybody. Like you know, what's his name? Joe Alwyn was on to talk Brutalist and like acting side like that didn't happen.
Wasn't Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe talked Nosferatu. Yeah.
The Brutalist won in this category.
Mm-hmm.
And we all picked it too, so
we did. Yep.
Yeah, that was expected.
Yep. No upside down Statue of Liberty, though, Aaron.
Correct. They didn't show the upside down Statue of Liberty.
4 went out for should have been nominees Nickel Boys and The Girl with the Needle.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't have it all. It's what the Oscars told me. editing.
Mm-hmm.
Upset here.
Yeah.
All of us, the 3 of us had Conclave. It went to Anora. Terrence, what'd you
get? Conclave.
Yeah.
That was the favorite.
It was the favorite of the category. Y'all.
No, it was not.
It was?
No, it was not.
It was.
Did you correctly get Anora?
I said, yeah.
Wow. Get on you.
It was the upset. Like, it was who would have won.
Who won that? Oh, because we didn't. The editors
there's
haven't
no, there's no it. Eddies yet. The Eddies haven't even happened yet. It's going to be really awkward if he doesn't win at the Eddies.
I mean, I kind of honestly let Conclave win at the Eddies. I want, you know, it's too bad the Academy. The Oscars come so late in this thing because like one of my biggest things just watching people on Twitter like freak out, oh well, so and so won SAG or this thing won the BAFTA and then this, and I'm like, the Oscars don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They care,
and it's a totally different voting body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought honestly my upset pick here was going to be the Brutalist just because
sure
I thought they were going to go for, you know, most.
Yeah, I had that as a should win possibility.
Yeah, it should, yeah. But no, Anora took it.
Good job by Sean Baker editing his own movies.
He got
4 speeches today.
Yeah, he had a lot to do. That's for sure. all right, let's get to the music.
Mm-hmm.
We had best original score. Brutalist won that. I think we all, I assume, picked Brutalist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There.
Da 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 da.
And
that's that's my. That was good. Of the Brutalist score. Yeah.
I could hear the orchestra in your voice.
Terrence, we saw him at the screening we were at for Brutalist, right? He was there, wasn't
Daniel
he?
Bloomberg?
Who was?
Daniel Bloomberg, the composer of Brutalist, wasn't he? At the screen?
Yes, the composer, the production designer.
And the costume.
Costumes, and then the co-writer.
Yeah, producer.
Oh, co-writer. Great.
Mona.
I can't remember what her name is. Yeah.
Mona. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, between him and the cinematographer, they're like, they're men of few words.
Yeah.
they have the most exaggerated speakers. But original song came out, and boy, Mick Jagger should host the Oscars. That was my thought right there. He was having a ball. Just
standing ovation.
Know who didn't get a standing ovation? Conan O'Brien. Know who did? Mick Jagger.
You know who had daggers full of envy? Elton John.
It was so random that I like loved it. At first, I was like, Mick Jagger. I was like, what is Mick Jagger doing here? And I was like, oh no, but this is the type of stunt casting, you know, for lack of a better phrase, that I can get with at the Oscars for presenting a, you know, original song.
He had great energy.
He did. They wrote some good stuff for him to say.
Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan was supposed to do it, but Bob Dylan didn't want to.
Right.
I wish I had that much hair, or I wish I would have that much hair at his age.
Like, he's in his 80s? Yeah.
Lush head of hair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
taking the substance.
He's taking his biotin. That's something. He's just taking the right vitamins.
His biotin.
Yeah, he's taking the right vitamins. You know? That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, after we had multiple performances of The Wiz, we then got none of the songs performed that were supposedly the best of the year. Mm-hmm. Did you like the category? Because they said they're going to do something special for the song, so they ended up basically doing like a montage of clips mixed with interviews with the writers of the song. Mm-hmm, did you guys like how that presentation went? In obviously, maybe not obviously. Maybe you wouldn't want to hear the songs. What do you think?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
You know, I kept tweeting during the show, I need somebody to explain to me why we removed the original song performances and put in a 10-minute Wizard of Oz themed opening and a Quincy Jones tribute, but not using music that Quincy Jones actually wrote and whatever that James Bond thing was. So I did appreciate, I like when the Academy is like, get these artisans to explain how things are made.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's where I am too. Cause we talked about this like a while back when people were showing production design and how that is actually made at the Academy Awards, like even just clips of things. And again, screenwriting where you have to write stage direction, but also dialogue. So it's cool to see when you can see the inner workings of things. Like, did I think that it was fine? Yeah. But at the same time, everything Terrence said is true, which is what are these songs and why are they being sung versus, you know, if this is like a 3-hour and 50-minute show, you could have definitely included these somewhere.
It's just, it would have been fun to be like, have Elton John on stage to sing a song, let alone her, let alone have like Zoe Saldana like dancing around the aisles. Like that would have been super
I would have preferred Zoe Saldana over
if Ryan
Camille.
Fucking Gosling could make everybody pass out from I'm Just Ken, then like, let's get Zoe Saldana down here.
It's a fun song, yeah. But
her,
yeah,
you know, I mean, put some Nikes on her and get her going.
Yeah. Not my favorite award speech acceptance of just singing herself off. So
I will say that Ryan Gosling singing I'm Just Ken, some of the beauty of that song, though, is the fact that people don't really – I mean, I know he was – you know, he grew up in the musical tradition of Mickey Mouse Club and all that. But it's he's not someone that you expect to be a good singer, so it kind of becomes fun. That's why Conan singing that I'm Not Going to Be Long was funny because he's not a singer, but, you know, he kind of gets by.
Yeah, he loves the music, man.
Sure, there's a weird irony that comes with it that makes it, like, extra goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these are supposed to be the best songs of the year. I kind of want to hear them.
It would be cool to see, Zoe and Nikes.
If I'm not going to get Kristen Wiig singing Harper and We'll Go West, which I absolutely would have liked to see on the stage, then you better substitute it with something else.
I just thought, like, if you're not going to do the original songs, like, I think the Quincy Jones tribute was like the time to bring all the musical people out to do something really special. Even if you want to have Cynthia and Ari open the show, like have them both sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow or both sing Home, not alternate, and then sing Defying Gravity with the Kill Her lyrics still in there. What are we doing, guys?
Yeah.
People don't.
What you're saying is we could direct a better Oscars. Got it.
Yeah. It just was weirdly produced.
Yeah, we're available at Hollywood. You know, we're available.
I definitely am. I'd love to produce the Oscars.
What if you like just started remixing your own Oscars, putting out the next day, and just be like, "Oh, this Terrence guy, we got to get him on."
Chopped and screwed Oscars.
Yeah, no, more like, you know, like the Topher Grace style of like his own Star Wars or was it Indiana Jones. I forget which one.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're not wrong, Abe. The speech for original song, like, started out good.
Yeah, I agree.
And it kept going, and then it kept going, and then every other nominee suffered because that speech went too long.
One of the two worst speeches of the night.
Well, moving on. Let's get to these screenplays. Get these out of the way here. We had, I think, what we all kind of predicted. We had Conclave and Adapted, and Anora and Original. Do we all get those? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, we get those?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary there. Sean Baker gave another speech. Peter Strawn had a good speech as well.
Yeah.
He's happy to say hi.
Happy to be there.
I didn't realize that he wrote Tinker Tailor.
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
So that was like a, now I really want to rewatch that movie.
Which kind of helps out when you watch Conclave. You're like, I guess it is kind of like spy-ish to some degree. So anyway.
It's juggling a lot of things at once.
It is. Yeah.
Let's see. What do I not hit over besides the major ones? I think I got everything at this
I think
point.
That's kind of it. We got to go to the majors now.
Okay, so
international feature.
International feature. That's a thank you.
Oh, yes. That's
international
a big one.
Feature. I believe the three of us predicted correctly. I'm still here. Right? Mark, yeah. I'm still here too. Mark, Terrence, you had it also?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it won.
Good job by us. Go Brazil.
Not much to say here beyond. Yeah, it was nice to see Walter Zales on stage and being happy.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, how many times has Penelope Cruz presented Best International Film at the Academy Awards?
Probably like five.
Because apparently she's the only one.
She's the only one.
She's the only. Yeah. Maybe we get Marion Cotillard. They're like the only, that, you know.
That's apparently the only, those are the only actors that aren't from America. That's
the only international body.
That's how it is apparently.
Yeah.
Those are the only two.
Yeah.
It was she looked very happy to see Walter Salles win too.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And he had some good shout outs to the cast, and you know they cut to Fernando Torres a few times. It was nice. It was good for Brazil.
All right. Director went to Sean Baker. We can get back to him when we get to picture, I think.
Well, I just want his speech for Best Director I thought was really good. That was the one where he talked about theaters and theatrical experience. Quentin Tarantino presented it, and I mean he's standing in the background. Obviously, everything that Sean Baker is saying, he's like, "Yes, yes,
yeah, exactly. yes."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even if he was just standing there, I knew that in his mind, he's like, "Yes, you're basically saying everything that I believe." So I really like. So I haven't seen. I guess I haven't been watching Sean Baker win awards through this season. So he's really likable. I this was sort of the most I've ever seen of him, and he seems so young and youthful and full of life and I liked his enthusiasm, so I already like his movies,
right?
So it was nice to see that he seemed genuinely excited to win, you know.
Yeah, check out his Independent Spirit Award speeches. Those are quite good. And him at the Cannes Film Festival,
he's been giving good speeches his whole entire press run here. I'd also say that as they brought Quentin Tarantino out, somebody shout out New Beverly or something like that from the audience. It was great. So you know, his speech there about going to theaters, well received. I think a lot of people definitely agreed. I thought that he was going to mimic his speech from what Aaron mentioned about the Independent Spirit film, which in vein, same vein, but again, different message. So it was good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to these actors. Best Supporting Actor, Kieran Culkin wins. Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
No.
He drops some death bombs that silenced the broadcast for a few seconds. No surprise there either.
Look forward to the baby announcement in
number 3 and 4, right?
December.
It depends on how hard they're working.
Yeah.
Downey Jr. comes out, and that's where we get the first hint to like what the acting stuff's going to be like. Right. So he gives he's because I was wondering what he does first. Is like first he comes out and he's kind of like doing a little dance up to the microphone, like geez, he's eating all this time to just he's proud of himself. And then, he starts, like, rambling off about the actors. Like, oh, okay, so this is what we're doing? We're doing, like, a personal tribute from one guy to five people?
Mm-hmm. What's that Thanos line where he's like, try it, run from it?
I'm inevitable?
I'm inevitable, whatever that is. And that's what I thought of texting you. That no matter, you think it's going away, but no matter what, we're going to have, somebody's going to be up there talking to each individual person.
It was shorter. That's what I'll take.
It was shorter, but this is also another category, and there are a few of those where they didn't have the clips. They just had the person talking. And I was like, it would have been nice to see the clips.
Yeah, show me the clips. I always want clips.
Yeah, show me this guy's acting range for
it
the clips.
It worked better here than it did in Supporting Actress, because I feel like Downey is probably...
He knows more people.
He just knows them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, his story about Jeremy Strong, 1993, was a nice story, and Jeremy seemed like he was genuinely touched by it.
Mark, do you have any thoughts on the Downey coming out and doing his thing?
I like clips, so I would have done that.
I did think Downey giving an Oscar to Kieran, I'm like, these two are like uncle and nephew in a movie.
he even calls it out, too. He's like, you know, stop trying to do me.
Yes.
Did they play Oppenheimer theme when Danny came out, or was that a different category? Whichever category it was, the Oppenheimer theme blasted in my ears, and I was like, this is a beautiful score.
It's probably Killian.
Okay.
I had to guess. Actress in a supporting role, Zoe Saldana, also the favorite to win, and wins.
Yeah, no surprise.
No surprise.
No surprise there. Divine Joy Randolph, as we already mentioned.
Fantastic.
She had nice things to say, but yes, obviously less than Downey as far as
right.
personalizing the messages. But
yeah.
I'm not going to shame anybody for being like, Isabella Rossellini, you're pretty good. Like, yeah, it's pretty good.
You wore Blue Velvet.
She did. Yeah. So Danya comes up to stage. She gives a good speech. I like her speech.
She's been having good speeches all throughout this campaign run as well. So definitely been practicing, but it was a good speech.
I hated the dress.
I saw your tweet about that, and I need to understand why.
I want all of the winners to look their best.
Okay.
It's why, I'd love that Anne Hathaway won for Les Mis, but like, and she's told the story about what happened with that dress, but it was like, she knew she looked a fool when she won that.
I got to look it up right now.
You're winning, I want you to look your best. So that when we look at these pictures from now until the end of time, we can be like, oh, that was amazing. You know, get Viola Davis in the red, you know, like Meryl Streep wearing gold, like mm-hmm. Cher wearing whatever crazy thing she was wearing when she went for when she won her Oscar for Moonstruck.
Moonstruck, yeah.
You know.
Okay. Noted. I mean, actually, for styling tips, whenever I have to attend any.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get
carpet.
You right.
Yeah.
But good speech, though, right?
Yeah, it was good.
It's a good speech, yeah. She thanked a lot of people, including
her. Called out her husband's hair?
Yeah, exactly. Like what Mar saying.
Husband's hair. Her grandmother taught her she spoke in Spanish and got to sing and speak in Spanish.
Yep. Yeah. So good speech by her. She, again, been cracking it the whole time.
All right. Actor in a leading role. We have Adrian Brody here. I took a swing. I went for Chalamet. Didn't pay off.
I thought about you, and I was like, you know, good job by Aaron by taking a swing.
I chuckled to myself. I said, somewhere Aaron is upset, and I was just...
And you got you probably definitely won.
your logic was sound.
Yeah.
With the exception of the fact that the Oscars, other than Adrian Brody and Richard Dreyfuss, do not like young men.
They
like young women, but they don't like young men.
Yeah.
You also had a great tweet about that, Terrence.
They just don't.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. This is probably the most meandering award speech of the night. Oh, I think God. I literally texted my friend twice. Verbatim here. What the fuck is Adrian Brody talking about? That's what I texted twice to my buddy, two different times as we were watching the Academy Awards.
I didn't tweet it, but I was going to say this speech needs an intermission.
It had an intermission.
So long.
The music came in.
That's true. And he told them to cut it.
Then
he said, it's okay. I've been here. I've done this before. I'll be quick. And then he went on for like another 10 minutes.
Another meandering. I was like, what is this about?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The sentiment is like fine because I'm not going to say like he shouldn't have said no to the anti-Semitism, but it's more the brutalist and his win. It's not like you know, like the documentary or whatnot. It's like this doesn't really have to do with him winning acting.
He also kept on talking about like second chances too, about his own career for second chances. Like, I don't think that you were fully canceled by anything. I know that you've had like some weird faux pas on. You know, award shows and everything else, but it's not as though like people were like, oh, don't hire Adrian Brody. You've been doing Wes Anderson movies for the past decade and doing very well in them, you know, so.
Those don't pay the bills.
Yeah, I guess those not. Are, yeah, those are.
No, I mean, I'm not going to.
They're fun and lovely, though.
He is an actor who's doing just fine, but I'm not going to say he hasn't had a shaky career for the past, like, decade that has, you know, gets him back into the Academy Awards. Yeah.
But he tried to make something of his speech in the second half, and it still didn't reach a point, and then he just was like, all right, I guess I'm done now.
It was too long.
If you look at the telecast, I did, it's like a 3-minute speech.
It's too long.
Yeah, I looked away
from
someone
that's been winning. It's too long for someone that's been winning the whole time.
Yeah. What were you saying, Terrence?
I said I looked away from the screen and then I looked back and he was still talking.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Who came out to Oppenheimer, of course, right?
Killian was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be on the stage right now.
That's what
in his eyes.
When they started showing clips, I was like, now we're getting clips. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Killian is up there. They probably had to do everything in their power just to get him to like come back.
I thought he was going to come out and do a tight five. I don't know. I thought he had some new jokes that he was ready to share and get some bits going, but I guess not.
Yep.
Actress in a leading role. Mikey Madsen pulls out with the upset win here over Demi Moore, who I guess it wasn't her time after all.
Yeah. Terrence, who'd you have for this?
I had Mikey.
Oh, you did? Okay. Wow.
Did you? Wow. Yeah, I thought this was the biggest shock of the night.
Y'all, let's be serious for a second.
It'd been up and down, Terrence. Wins for Mikey, some wins for Demi.
She won the Indie Spirit, right?
She did,
sure. Which doesn't really matter much. But she
and
won.
And BAFTA.
And BAFTA. And I don't know if she won. I think she won the Globe. Who won? Was she in, was that
Demi
in comedy?
Won the Globe. Oh. So,
yeah. But the Globes don't matter, so who fucking cares?
Yes.
But Demi won SAG.
Yes. But my thought process with it was, if Anora is going to win picture, director, editing, and screenplay, if you like it to that level, would the lead performer, who is also a young, attractive woman, not also come with it, was my thought process. And it was
and
like, okay.
You also chose editing correctly, so I see your logic here.
It just, I was like, they're going to love Anora and not give the win to the lead, and she's, you know, she is the movie essentially. So yeah, that's what I thought. And I think that the narrative for Demi was definitely very strong. She's obviously number two. I'd be interested to see, you know, they never released the voting, which is so annoying, but I'd you know, in 50 years when they decide to release the voting, we'll find out how close she actually was. But like the nomination for her is the reward, and it's a great reward. But I was like, I just don't. If Anora wasn't winning picture, I definitely think Demi would have won, because we have the whole, you know, makeup and acting tend to go together.
Interesting.
But yeah, I knew Mikey was going to take it.
She did it. Good job by them. And yeah. I think, Mark, you're kind of right, where it's like, yeah, it's kind of surprising. I think the most surprising for me, because I was like, oh, it's going to be Demi. I even had that whole entire Demi's going to thank Bruce. It's going to be great. And now I'll never get to see that.
I mean, I can't say like, as it's like the other most likely person was Mikey Madsen. Like,
exactly.
If Fernando Torres won, it was like, oh, my God, we'll oh. fire.
Or it would have been fine, too.
Or if Carla won, we'd all get up and cheer, of course. I mean, no, Mikey Madsen won, and, you know, good honor.
Good honor. Yeah, I mean, I had her as should win. I chose to be more as will win. So, yeah.
That leaves with Best Picture, which after, you know, four other wins.
there was, no way that it was not going to win at that point.
When it won editing early on, I'm like, well, Nora won.
I was like, it's going to set itself up for a really big night. Yeah, that's what I wrote. Yeah.
Nora wins Best Picture. No controversies here. Everybody gets on stage. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Who came out?
Really
oh, of course,
that
those guys from that
running.
Those guys from that mayonnaise commercial. They came out on the stage to do
the guys from the mayonnaise.
The guys from the mayonnaise commercial. They came out.
Was that the only? I guess Whoopi and Oprah.
We'll
was
get back
the first.
To the tributes.
No, I was more because I tweeted. I was like, have we got like a remember how much you love this movie cast reunion?
Oh yeah.
And I think we only got two.
Yeah, unless Sam Jackson and Selena made some movie I forgot about. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else.
Wild.
Good one by Anora and Co. Again, I love that everyone started like running towards John Baker. Yuri Borisov was like shouting. You could see like on the telecast.
He's a big
guy. You could see like people like running from behind because they were seated behind the rest of the cast. They're running to catch up. Their speeches were totally panned out and placed. You know what I mean? It was timely and neat. And it was really fun to see. Everybody's so excited. Who's the actor guy that plays like the son in the movie?
Oh, Russian Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, him.
Mark Edelstein.
Like Mark Edelstein.
Edelstein. Yeah.
Terrence, you need to address that guy because his pants were like way untailored. It's like these are you're like a 6'1" guy, and these pants are like for somebody who's like 6'6".
That's what they do it in Russia, Abe. Stop insulting their culture.
Well, apologies.
That was my issue with Timmy's outfit too. I love the bold choice of the yellow, but I was like, these pants are not What's going on, Timmy?
You got to be comfortable while you sit there, man.
You can be comfortable with a hem that's like 2 inches shorter.
The hem of his garments is how he wanted it to be. Timmy Tim knows what he's doing over there.
I think he needed a bolder color. I thought that washed out yellow was not good on for him.
It doesn't help when you're sitting right down the row from fucking Coleman, looking like he's to the nines of his red.
Coleman was amazingly dressed. Yeah.
Did you see clips of him between commercials for the Oscars?
Telling everyone to get up and dance?
Oh, yeah, dancing exactly. Or something. I saw. I didn't know what that was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was during breaks. He got on stage and they were playing music. He was like, hey, everybody dance, everybody. Yeah. Like,
by the way, good clip choice for Coleman for Sing Sing.
I mean, I don't think you could go wrong with any of the clip choices for Sing Sing with him in it, but yeah, it's a nice one.
Good one. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we did. We went over the awards and all that. And once again, congratulations to the winners.
Congratulations, Mark.
Hollywood's biggest night.
Oh yeah,
and yes, congratulations to Mark for winning our pool.
Yeah,
here you'll get that trophy in the mail in 2020 something or other. Let's get back to some thoughts on the rest of the show. We had a number of tributes.
Mm-hmm.
What were the good tributes? What were the ones that you liked? Terrence takes a long pause and then says,
"Terrence got some thoughts."
I don't.
He's still thinking.
Refresh my memory. What were
what
the
tributes? Yeah, what were the tributes?
There was one on James Bond, which
there's. Well, yeah. Let's list them before we cast opinion on some of these tributes.
Quincy yes. Jones.
There was James Bond, Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Made to, I guess, like the Wizard of Oz thing at the beginning. It's like a weird tribute.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the in memoriam, which we did. Memoriam. I think we did like that. I like the orchestra. I actually like the music. It was. I didn't want someone singing over it, so I liked that. And there was one year where they had people dancing, and that was distracting. I think the way they did it was better.
Oh, this is the best In Memoriams I've seen in a long time for me. This is a long time that I've really disliked the In Memoriam for all the wacky angles they're choosing and all.
The only thing I would say is I would have pulled in a little closer. It was such a wide shot. And I was like, get a little closer.
Compared to every other fucking year, this is a fucking godsend how they did it this year. Oh my god!
I will say that I did enjoy the. I can't remember what show it was, but it was like it felt like more of like an upbeat gospel song because I liked the idea of like
music wise. I remember that being pretty.
Yeah,
solid.
Not needing like it not needing to be like such a morose send off for these people. Right. Like let's like we can celebrate the joy, you know, joy of their lives even in the sadness. I don't know if I liked any of these tributes.
Interesting. I'm kind of there with you. Like I think that they're
Bond
fine.
Bond one is the one that just grinds my gears the most because
I like the opening with what is her face?
Margot Qualley.
Margot Qualley. Yeah, and I was like,
was just that little quick dance,
Aaron was like, no
bit. I could have maybe.
I agree
because I thought it was like, oh, we're gonna like substance. We're gonna. I thought like maybe you
it
have
would
to,
do something
you have
interesting.
Denny, like we,
I thought it was actually going to like.
I thought it was
going to
build
something
else.
Yeah.
But no, the James Bond one was terrible because Doja Cat was awful.
Oh gosh,
I agree.
What was the point of Lisa being there? And then
people didn't even know who Lisa is. She's probably like the most famous person there.
Asking Ray to sing Skyfall when you could have had Ray.
Adele.
Yeah. Put Ray in the Quincy Jones tribute
is a tough ask because I noted that, you know, that song is hard to cover because Adele did an incredible job and she won the Oscar for it.
Yeah, it's hard for Adele to sing it too. So,
and also, yes, you're correct, Abe. I do not know who Lisa is until I looked her up, and I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
And she's part of like huge K-pop band.
But like,
oh, is she the one that's in the White Lotus?
White Lotus, yeah,
yeah, she's Mook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in my latest. Okay.
Yeah, very. But
if we want to just talk about the Bond one, yeah, no, I think it's awful. I don't know why it's there unless like Amazon has a big stake in the Oscars or something.
If you do that tribute and the next award is presented by the guy who's going to play Bond,
I was thinking something like that.
That's
where I was like,
where
oh, they're
we
going to announce something.
I was like, oh, we're going to get an announcement.
Right. And then they were just like, it's a commercial. Like, okay.
It was just awkwardly everything about it was awkward.
Conan did announce it. He announced it's that guy that works at Amazon. Yeah.
Which is one of his producer buddies that they put up on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a joke. It was a lot of nonsense. And yes, when Margaret Qualley came out, I was like, whatever. Like none of this means anything to me.
It doesn't, but it didn't last that long. I was like, okay, cool. They're gonna like fan out and all of a sudden the new James Bond is gonna be announced. I was like, that'd be nice, but yeah, if it kept going.
If we want to play a what if and it was just that, then like I'd have a different reaction. But they didn't, so I can hate the my Margaret Qualley part just as much as the rest of it. Because it was all terrible.
Totally understandable.
One thing I did like, I like it when people do tributes for their friends. And so when for Gene Hackman,
Morgan Freeman
came out and started speaking. That has power because, I mean, one, he speaks really well, but it's also he was his friend. You know, they worked together, so that has a nice, you know, feel to it. So I would have liked actually a little bit more of a tribute to David Lynch. I mean, he is such a major, I don't know, director that I think he could have warranted a little bit more of a mentioned, but
his clip was slightly longer.
Slightly,
yeah, I think the recency of Gene, for one thing, they already built the package right for the clips, and obviously you can never edit those ever again. That's how it works. Yeah. They're finalized. You can never do it over. It doesn't matter how much time there is; it's not possible. So, like, I get that the recency was like, and because he's a 2-time Academy Award winning legendary actor, like, yeah, you get. You can make that kind of time to adjust however they were going to set up the in memoriam. I get how that works. But I mean, yeah, there's always ways to think of what you could do better for some of the more notable, significant figures in there. And obviously there's plenty that are left out. I know Tony Todd was left out, which is
right. Yeah.
Cause I'm like, you had plenty of time for Tony Todd. I don't know where that goes, but
I think very much in line with that too. I mean, there are some years where there's like an egregious leave out and people are like, what happened to like so-and-so? I was like, that I don't think anybody was like super egregious left out. I did like that there was somebody that wrote a joke that said Shrek's publicist died. And that was kind of like dark humor.
Yeah. If we could, redo this show, I'd be like, get rid of the Bond thing altogether. And give us like a more extended, Maggie Smith leading off the thing. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I obviously know that she passed away, but it's like that was in the year, and she's a 2-time winner. So, have like Quincy Jones music be the in memoriam music that then leads us into.
You know, Terrence, I think you should be directing these shows.
Like, some of this is common sense. Like Oprah and Whoopi being there.
Yeah.
Particularly Whoopi getting to be celebrated as like a screen icon. And honestly, one of the best top three hosts of the Oscars. Her, like Bob Hope and Billy Crystal. January. Up there, so getting to see her get to have that moment in honor of Quincy was great, but then it was like one song from The Wiz,
the second Wiz song of the night.
I mean, it was great to see Queen Latifah.
Yeah, I love Queen. Like,
The Equalizer. So
he didn't want to sing, one of his. He's got what, 3 Academy Award nominated,
right,
songs,
but his catalog of music in general, like, it's incredible. So it would have been. And The Wiz is like, I get the tie-in because movies, but yeah.
Was it was like Wicked specific, which is weird to be like.
Yeah, that's it felt like we were tying too much into the Wicked of it all. And it's like, now there's no runway for next year or this coming year when Wicked is sure to be nominated again. It's like, well, you already did.
We'll do all the Coward and Lion songs. They can do that.
No. Even though Be a Lion is a phenomenal song, but no.
Looking forward to that one, Aaron.
just those songs.
Cowardly Lion songs.
Just those.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't think I like the single tribute, which is tough.
I don't dislike the. It's more. It is like there's an awkwardness in terms of choice that I could agree with when it comes to the Quincy Jones tribute. But like, I didn't dislike seeing Queen Latifah on stage having a good time and like bringing up the energy in the room.
Yeah.
And yes, and having Oprah and Whoopi on stage, I think, was also not like, if I'm comparing that to the Bond stuff I didn't like, this stuff, mm-hmm. I was like, this is, I can tolerate this a lot better.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm there with you too.
Mark, do you have any thoughts on the Quincy Jones treatment?
I haven't seen Queen Latifah in a long time. She looks good.
You're not watching The Equalizer on CBS?
I am not.
I'm not watching The Equalizer on
CBS. Yeah. I mean, still can sing too. It's great.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, Queen Latifah. Should have thrown in a rap verse. I would have been like, this is the best show ever.
Yeah, she's leaving single. Is she married? No.
Answer's no.
Answer's no, yeah. What else?
Any good pairings you guys liked? I liked the Meg Ryan and former host Billy Crystal pairing.
From the mayonnaise commercial?
Yep, exactly, from the mayonnaise commercial. But any other pairings that you guys liked? I think, Aaron, you mentioned those are really, like, there were some weird ones. But
well, there was that comedy duo that was Miles Teller and Miley Cyrus. They should take that show on the road.
Whew.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, awkward.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the producers from the show need to be fired. it just is odd because, like, you have Andrew Garfield and Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yeah.
Who seemed too intimate with each other.
But he was, like, eulogizing her, and it's like,
It was.
You brought so much joy to my mother and I, and I just want to thank you. I was like, what is happening here? We're only, like, 10 minutes into the show.
Yeah, that was...
Wait, I have a question for Terrence about Andrew Garfield. What did you think of the open shirt at the Academy Awards?
You know, that's one of my biggest pet peeves, even though I think he looks great.
Yeah.
It is one of my biggest pet peeves.
I mean, I would agree mostly just because, like, it's a black tie event and, you know.
And he's been doing this at, like, every major award show red carpet.
Some of them I don't mind. Like, the one where he was, like, wearing the green look. One, it's fine.
He runs hot. He's got a sweaty chest. He's got to keep that thing open.
And, you know, he's been putting his glasses on a lot.
Gotta vent it out.
He's been reading the tweets, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Scarlett and June Squibb seems like.
That was fun.
Apparently,
was
like,
especially because June Squibb is in Scarlett Johansson's directorial debut.
That's right. Yes. Coming up this year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I liked that pairing.
Yeah.
Just the thought of June being like, I'm Bill Skarsgård, and then Scarlett Johansson being like, oh, well, I'm Andy Serkis.
Honest, Sterling K. Brown, they're just, you know, good-looking people looking good on stage. I can't
really pretty much.
Reminded of, they were like, both have been nominated for Oscars, and I was like, when?
Well, as you know Sterling because you were upset about Sterling's nomination.
Yeah, but I was thinking about Anna, and I was
the Marilyn Monroe movie that everybody saw and watched the entire version of.
That's right, yeah.
Everybody watched all 3 hours.
American Fiction is what he was nominated for?
Last year.
Okay. Yeah, last year.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Favorably, yeah.
Oh, Billy Crystal presented with Meg Ryan.
Yeah,
And they got a standing ovation. I think that was more for Billy Crystal, but, you know, you can debate that.
For four-time host Billy Crystal?
They all love the mayonnaise. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He had a good joke, which is a callback to his line from When Harry Met Sally, which is great. So that's nice.
That's all the pairings.
Another piece that I had kind of like an editing weird issue with is like, give me some of the reaction shots, man. I want to see these actors reacting to like their clips being shown on the screen. I think back to After Sun with Paul Mescal and his mom just being really proud of him. And it's like, it was nice to see that, you know, these actors have emotions. So
I think that the thing with that is more often than not, they don't like seeing their performances. So
that's
true. So they have bad reaction shots.
But I'd also say like, well, Carla Fosipia Gassian kind of ruined that for everybody too. So
it's not purely, I mean, that's not a new thing of them not getting the reaction shots.
Yeah.
You can,
I'm just saying that, you know.
The one I always think of is Stanley Tucci in Lovely Bone, which is an awful performance that he was nominated for. And his reaction is like, they chose that? Like, it's just. There's not a lot of payoff to it unless, like, you get lucky and you have an actor that actually likes seeing themselves on screen.
Yeah.
They're only so vain. Any other favorite moments from the ceremony?
Checking my notes here.
For a show this long, I'm really like, what happened?
Interesting. Yeah.
I think we got it.
Everything.
I did like Conan's Wasting Time song just because I think it's silly Conan stuff. Like,
yeah, it's on the nose.
If you want to judge it for But I mean, that's the joke. So I don't care. It's also not that long. I mean, it gave me Dune playing chopsticks, which I appreciate. Dune Sandworm playing chopsticks. Mm-hmm. It had random Deadpool dancer. It is like, that's the kind of thing that I expect from a Conan Oscar host, to be like, let me like do a song and dance number that's like really ridiculous and and nonsensical. If the rest of the show was tighter, maybe Terrence's frown would go away. But I still like that little performance nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the substance.
Oh, the opening bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that.
Part of me was like, does this translate all the way? Like, would it have been different if it was like, just like if it was like a parody of the substance, so he got like, I don't know, like Jake Gyllenhaal, and like Jake Gyllenhaal was taking the substance and he came out of Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Like,
I get that. You want a more one-to-one kind of connection?
Yeah. Because, you know.
I like the bit.
It was funny, especially when he like went back to try, going back to try and find the shoe is what killed me. Yeah. But like, I was definitely like, oh, this is, like, I see what we're doing here, but also it's kind of like,
What would have sealed it for me is if when he was coming on the stage, he kind of tripped out because he was still putting his shoe on. That would have got me. That would have got me big on that one. Yeah. When he did that, though, it did make me think, are we going? Because he is a big Billy Crystal fan. He has a lot of admiration for Crystal. I was wondering if we'd be doing more of that the way Crystal did, if there'd be more parodies, like either throughout the show or throughout the introduction.
Oh, okay.
Beyond just the substance, but it was just the substance.
Like when Billy Crystal was doing all the,
he'd do
1990s.
He'd do
style.
Like a ton of, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the montage. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
But alas, that's what it was.
Alas, we will direct the next one if they give us a chance. What do you guys think of Conan O'Brien coming back for another one? Would you guys be pleased? Not pleased?
Yeah, I would be on board for that.
Okay. Yeah.
If you give Kimble four,
that's a lot.
Doors open.
Yeah. Yes, just. New producers.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is a lot of what it comes down to. I mean, Conan has his say in a lot of things, but I mean, in terms of how they're organizing the show or whatnot, that's...
Yeah. I mean, we still all remember, was it Bill Condon? That I think was like 09, like changing, or 08, changing sort of the staging of the show and the order of the awards. But they had like I can still remember that Oscars just from like a production.
You know, I'm seeing something here. It says Honoris Sean Baker is the first person in Oscar's history to win four Academy Awards for the same film in one night.
Since Walt Disney.
He's the first person to win four since Walt Disney, but the first one to win it for the same movie.
For the same movie, yeah. Yeah. Take that, Bong Joon-ho.
And Alfonso Cuarón.
And Alfonso Cuarón, yes. three is not enough, says Sean Baker.
Good job by them.
What did Parasites win? It's directing, writing, and
international.
Picture. International and picture, but international, but international doesn't go to him, right?
I guess not. Yeah.
Was that when they changed it? Didn't they change the rule where it was like now the filmmaker gets the Oscar too?
That's what it is now, but like was
but
it
not,
like,
I think Parasite was probably was like the last really one. Silly. Yeah.
I'd also like to point out that now we can call Ralph Fiennes Ralph, as per Conan O'Brien's decree at the beginning of the Oscars.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
it'll make it easier for my dad. I always have to correct him.
He's calling him Ralph.
Ralph Fiennes.
Any other thoughts on Hollywood's biggest night?
Yeah, I think we did it. I think it's time for us to all get some drinks together.
hit that Honora bar.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wait. What's the club called?
It's like some cool like working corporate title. I can't remember the name of it.
It's a simple name. It's like it's not Champions, but it's something like
it's like something that's like can get lost in a sentence.
That's gonna bug me.
I know.
And when they bring it up again, Taurus is like, "I love that place."
Anyway,
headquarters.
Headquarters. That's what it is. Yeah, business sounding place. Told you.
All right. Well. We've talked about the 97th Academy Awards. Congratulations to all the winners. Congratulations.
I have a quick question for you.
What? Interrupt you right there.
Yes. Where does Honora rank among the list of best pictures? Among the best pictures.
In what? Ever?
Yes.
Out of 97?
Wow. Rank in what way?
Like where would you put it? right now, I'm looking at my letterbox list. That's why I'm saying this. I have a Nora in between The Hurt Locker and Rocky at number 28.
There's no context for that viewer list. I didn't.
Well, the number. Well,
how dare you? It makes sense to him, Aaron.
Yeah, it makes sense to him. I don't know what that means. All right.
That's number 28 out of 59 that I've seen.
So, like, a little bit less than
very good. Upper tier, right? Sure. Once I get to the other 40.
Yeah, I could tell you it's between The Last Emperor and, Gandhi. And what does that mean? Like, you know, it's like
it's top tier. It's a okay. Upper quadrant.
Yeah, upper above, quadrant. Okay, above Gladiator and below Hurt Locker. What do you want me to tell you? Like, yeah.
Well, I know how much you hate Gladiator. So, are we? How far down the list are we?
That B plus is such a hate.
You said it was the other day. You said it was bad.
I didn't say it's bad. I think it's among the worst Best Picture winners. I don't think it's a bad movie.
I'll go on record. Anora, it wasn't my favorite. I mean, in the 10 nominees, it would be near the bottom for me. So, I mean, yeah, it was.
Anora was in my top 10. So, like, do I have it cert high in the realm of all Best Picture winners? I don't know. It's probably got a good place somewhere. If I actually looked at all the Best Picture winners, maybe I'll make that list, Terrence. Yeah. I'll go on the Letterboxd and I'll get all these and I'll rank all the ones I've seen.
Since you have so much to say about
have you all seen every Best Picture winner?
I have not.
No, okay. I've seen 59 of them.
It's hard to see them all. Some of them are so old that it's.
I'm just dreading the day I know I have to watch Cavalcade.
Just that's to, one of those. That's one of those really the set. Old ones.
Complete yeah. the set.
It's all right.
All right. Well, as I was saying, congratulations to all the winners. Congratulations to Mark for winning mm-hmm. between us and our pool here.
Good work, Mark.
Thank you. I'm honored because this is tough competition, even though it's whatever the four of us, but it's still tough competition.
Real stakes.
And good job to Terrence as well.
Good job, Terrence. 18. Yeah. Nothing has got that.
And let's see. Let's hope we can not deal with James Bond at the Oscars for another few years, perhaps. Otherwise, yeah, that's going to do it for this bonus episode about Now With Aaron Abe. Everything I do is at my personal Substack page. So the code is eep.substack.com. I write for Leave Entertainment, all that stuff. Socials, Aaron's PS4. Hey, Abe.
Instagram, abe.mua, Blue Sky, Walrus Moose, # see you at the movies.
Mark Hoban.
You can read my reviews on my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Terrence, anything you want to plug?
You can find me on Twitter at Terrence B. Johnson. You can find my writing at littlewildtour.net, and you can hear my voice alongside Aaron's voice on our podcast, Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. First episode coming out on March 14th.
Hey, all right.
This podcast can be found everywhere you can find podcasts. We're all over the place.
We're online.
Socials and all that.
Yeah.
You can find our show.
Google us.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Next week is Mickey 17. Mickey 17's coming.
All right.
We'll be talking about that. Thanks again to Terrence and Mark for joining us for this Oscar post show.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks, Terrence.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And until next time, so long.
And goodbye.